Well, this is our third talk, looking together at our vision as a church. And before that, we had two talks looking at our values, because our vision is simply an outworking of our values. Our values are what we aspire to be in God, and then that's worked out in this time and this place, and that is our vision, the things that we need to do together. Well, 2 weeks ago, we thought about developing mid-sized missional communities where those of no faith or those exploring faith can share in community with us. They can sort of catch the faith that we have. And often these missional communities will be centered around some sort of secular theme that enables us to connect with similar people who might in time want to explore faith as they see us live out Christian love and Christian community. And then last week we thought about Old Sarum as an example of how we're currently planting one of these missional communities. And Penny has already got together Christians on the estate from different churches, and they have called themselves the Beacon. She aims to envision and to develop the life of this group of Christians from different churches and from our church, so that it becomes a thriving community. And the diocese, we hope, is going to buy a house for us. That's what we're asking them to do, to be a focus of community life. And the house would enable us to take on some lay leaders for the new community who would live rent-free in the house in return for work that they do. And they would take on some of the work that Penny has been doing over the last 4.5 years, the new shoots of growth that have started to appear. I'm presenting this to a large group of decision makers in the diocese on Thursday night at 6 o'clock. So please pray for that. We need approval there to go on to the Diocesan Finance Committee, which is an important committee for this to go through. Well, that's the last 2 weeks. This week, I want to talk about some really practical stuff that we're thinking about in order to continue growing here at St. Francis. And the growth of a church or any organisation can be depicted as an S curve on a graph. So growth at the start of a new thing, a new organisation, or even a new sort of organism, like a plant, the start of the growth is quite slow, and then it speeds up, and the graph rises as it gathers strength. But then, eventually, other factors come into play that cause the growth to tail off, so you get the top of the S. And the trick is for leaders to look ahead and to try and remove factors that cause the S to curve off at the top and slow the growth to slow down. It's a bit like growing a plant in a pot. You know, if you don't repot a plant, then eventually it becomes pot-bound and it stops growing and it might even decline and die back. And the factors that cause a growing church to become pot-bound are often about structures. So how a church is organised, how a church is staffed, and the buildings that it uses to enable ministry to happen. These are the scaffolding, if you like, that enable our values, the ministry that we're doing, to be expressed. They're not the point of what we do, but they enable what we do. They enable the important stuff. In the organisation of a growing church, there has to be change, and that can feel risky, but it's necessary as we grow. Things that once ran more informally in our organisation have to be more organised in a larger church. Things are more complicated, there are more people involved, and more relationships to be sustained, and more to be understood about the different roles. And often organisations, as they get bigger, just try to run the same model so they become more and more stretched until things begin to split and not work so well. And there's a realisation that the system needs to change in order to run a bigger organisation. And so you repot the church into a bigger system or a bigger organisation. And so we're looking at all of that as a leadership and as a PCC at the moment. How are we organised together? But the second thing that we need to look at is our buildings. And at one level, buildings are not important. New buildings don't bring about growth. Sometimes people think they will have a shiny new building and lots of people will come. But it doesn't really work like that. But it is true that renewed and growing congregations do need renewed buildings. They need to expand their homes. It's like a tortoise's shell. As we grow, that is expressed in the building's growth, the shell's growth. And the buildings we have need to be authentic to who we are as a people. So we're not wanting to build shiny new buildings for the sake of it, in order to be as good or better even than the church next door. We simply want to build buildings that will help us to glorify God and live out the values and the vision that he has given us. Our ministry to the parish and to the city. So what are the plans? Well, you may not have realised it, but we are bang in the middle of a building project. Half our project, phase one, over at the hall there, is completed, but the second half, phase two, is ready to go. And that's an extension here on this south side of the building. Well, let's rewind to May 2011. After the major refurbishment of this building in 2006, and then the gradual appointment of staff, we were ready in 2011 to refurbish the old church hall, which was across the car park. And basically, in those days, all our community groups like Teddy Bears and Mothers Union and other groups met in our rather dated 1950s hall. The church was used on Sundays and for Alpha and for some other church groups, but not really for the community. And so it was high time that we sorted out our community building, the hall, where our outreach really resided. Well, we planned a project, but, you know, I had a nagging feeling that we were playing it a bit safe. The project involved renewing the hall much as it was, at a cost of about £150,000. I wanted to add an upstairs youth facility with a spiral staircase. Brian, you might remember that. They wouldn't let me have it. But with the appointing of staff, even £150,000 without the spiral staircase was a big ask. And we didn't feel that we could really do the youth loft, so we set that aside for maybe some time in the future. And I think, to be honest, we were a bit weary, as we'd seen a lot of change and a lot of growth, and we'd felt quite stretched, and so we settled for what we could manage. Well, the builders were due to arrive on Monday, the 13th of June, for a pre-contract meeting, and from that, they would start to build. 2 days before that, on the Friday, I had a phone call when someone very politely said to me on the phone, "Hello, Vicar, did you know your hall is on fire?" What? I dropped the phone, I rushed down the road, and sure enough, there were 40-foot flames coming out of the top of the hall. There were 6, 8 fire engines, something like that, massive turntable ladders arriving. It was a major, major fire. Now, insurance companies don't insure for acts of God, do they? So we had to keep quiet, but I think that this was an act of God. I think that God wanted more. And of course, looking back now, we can see what he was doing and the plans that he had. Well, in the following months, we had a massive recovery operation. Great big porter cabins were craned into the car park for the preschool and for our church office. And we moved all our community ministry into our nice new shiny church with underfloor heating and nice seats. And you know, that was a game changer. Because we brought all the children and all the mess and all the complication into here. And I think God smiled that day as we did that. We had to move all the chairs to do it. We had to reorganize ourselves. But actually, it was great. The community came into our worship space. And that's where they were meant to be. So that was a great realization. That actually it was meant to be one site. And it was meant to be community and spiritual completely mixed together. So in the following months, we had five architects come and they competed in an architectural competition for ideas to remodel not just the hall, but the whole site to work together. A community hub where church and community would be in together. Amongst many ideas, we looked at demolishing the old hall and building a two-storey building in the car park behind the church on this side. But as the land rises so much, it would have been very difficult and it would have been very expensive. In the end, it was really clear that the best option was to keep both buildings, but use the shell of the burnt-out hall as phase one of our redevelopment. So we have in there what is now the preschool, the youth centre, a small hall and offices. Lots of space for growth. One section of the hall, which is now used as a sports court, we didn't rebuild, but we decided instead to transfer that space from the back of the hall. It was a damp, a dark room. It's called the green room, and there was a stage area, and it wasn't a nice space at all. So we decided to move that space right over the site and build it on the south side of the church instead. And so that's what we're planning to do. So we have plans, but they're part of a bigger plan. This is phase two of a big plan. So what are we going to do? Well, we want to say to the community, come in, the doors are open, this is your church. But at the moment, the church looks very closed. This long wall here is completely blank. There are no windows. In fact, to see into the church, you have to peer through the doors, the main doors, or through the baptistry. They're the only windows in. But our extension, as you can see on this model, our extension will stretch the full length of the wall with full height windows. We are a bit limited by the conservation people, but we've got as much glass into it as we could, and there will be views in to see the groups and the activity and the cafe and the things that are working inside. So we want to connect with the community rather than show blank walls. But the second aspect that we need to consider seems very mundane to start with. It's storage. Because when we started to use the church after the fire, we had nowhere to put all the toddler toys and the tables and the stuff you need for community ministry. So we filled the chapel upstairs here with all the stuff that we need. So it's completely full of toys and tables and other stuff. And so we lost the use of that chapel. And we've had a massive job carrying stuff up and down the stairs every week. An exhausting job. And a big thank you to Katie for tirelessly and uncomplainingly managing that for 5 years. And for Alan Goldie and Jamie Olivier and the mums and helpers who do that work every week. So we need a storage room. And that storage room is going to be where we currently have our main kitchen. We will move the kitchen units and the equipment that's in there into the current vestry over on this south side. There'll be a big new cooker and, when we can afford it, I know this is going to be popular, a quick dishwasher. And this will put the kitchen on the right side of the building in order to serve the new extension, to serve the chapter room, and also to serve the main church. It will be great to get the upstairs chapel back again. But there's also a need for somewhere quiet, a room for prayer throughout the week when things are going on in the church. A couple of weeks ago, there was a gentleman who came who had a bereavement. And he came into the church, he saw that there were things going on here, which was great. And he thought he would come in and just have a quiet moment to pray. And he came into the church. There was teddy bears in the church with all the chairs cleared. And then there was also something going on in the chapter room. And, you know, there was nowhere for him to sit and be quiet. And I felt really bad about that we couldn't offer that anymore. And so this quiet room in the quiet end of the building, with perhaps a little library as well that can be used and accessible from the outside too, will be a place that can be available throughout the week for prayer. And this week we had Neve, a young lady from our community who had an accident on her bicycle. And people from our community came here to pray and to use the church in an evening. And that's part of the point of our church, isn't it? That people can come from the community and pray. And it was a really blessed evening. Well, the two main rooms that we're building can be used as one long big space or used separately with a sliding partition. On Sundays, we'll need to use one of these main rooms for the Ignite groups because we're growing out of the spaces that we've got, so we'll need an extra room for that. The other room might well be set out as a cafe with tables and chairs. Of course, occasionally at Christmas and at remembrance or at very large funeral services, we may need to use these rooms with seats as overflow, with video screens showing what's going on in the church and the doors open to provide that connection. But that's not really the main intention. This is mainly about expanding our ancillary spaces for groups. That said, it could indirectly increase our church seating, as if necessary, we can put chairs right to the back of the main nave, this building here, as we've got coffee space in the new building. And of course, we've got the gallery space to use as well. Well, the second room at this end might well be set out as a permanent cafe or coffee bar. So this could be used on Sundays, but also for the Friday cafe and perhaps a weekly community lunch. And by other groups as well who sit at tables for training courses, for other events, cafe style. And for funerals, this room will act alongside the main church for the tea or the do afterwards. Both of these rooms can be used with the church via the double set of doors, which could then be open. Or we can shut those doors and they'll be soundproofed so that the two rooms alongside the church can be used separately with separate access at each end of the building. So those are the plans. Do have a look at them. Do talk about them and try and imagine them. So why are we doing this? And why are we doing this now? Well, in faith, we have prepared for growth, spending 5 years making plans and getting permissions on this amazing listed building. Well, the planning permission that we got a year or so ago runs out in July. So really, now is the moment when we need to do this. We have 190,000 already given, but we will need probably another 200,000. Tenders come in on Wednesday, so we'll have actual builders' prices settled about a week from then. So firstly, we need to see this was always part of the plan. Without doing phase two, the south extension, phase one, the hall, doesn't really work, and we don't have storage and all the other things that we need in order to make the church work too. And we can't recover the upstairs chapel without doing this work. Secondly, we're becoming pot-bound in the 11 o'clock service. We need more space for children's work, for coffee, and so on, if we're to continue growing. We can probably just about manage as we are at the moment, but we have been growing for some years, and we're planning to continue to grow. So we need to do this. Thirdly, during the week, we're running out of space on weeknights as well. Often there are five different things going on the site, so we're using every room and the church office, pushing the desks back so that we can use the church office as well. Fourthly, this fits in with our vision. These two meeting rooms will accommodate about 25 to 40 people. So just right for a mid-sized community meeting, missional community meeting. I think these spaces will be immensely useful. And once we've built this, and a year further on, we'll be saying, how on earth did we manage without the building? That's what's happened with the youth lounge, isn't it? It's used all week now, not just for youth, for all sorts of things. And I think it'll be the same with the extension. Fifthly, it fits with our vision. Because we started by bringing in our families and children. That was your brief to me in 2001. So we brought in families and children, and then we did the youth, and we built that up. Then we did 20s and 30s and added that. And then over the last few years, we've focused more on our community links with Strictly, with the over 50s, with the Friday Cafe. But I think there's one last bit of the jigsaw to completely serve our community that we haven't got, and that's working with the elderly and with the lonely. And I think there will be a growing need in our community for this. As the state pulls back its support, and as we have an ageing population. And so these rooms and this kitchen would give us the facilities to have a community lunch every week, and a place where people can come and find friendship and love in the other groups that we run. And we can develop other things as we serve our local people and local parish. So this is an exciting project. Can we do it? Well, we need to pray, don't we? We can't do it on our own. Is this God's will for us? Is this his vision? During our 5 years of preparation to date, we have felt led along this path. So is this the time? Well, we read earlier St. Paul's prayer for the Ephesians, and he finishes his prayer with these words. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church, that's what we want, and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, that's what we want too, forever and ever, amen. Immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine, through the power that is at work in us. It's God at work in you and in me. We need to seek him if we're to move forward together. So come tonight to pray. 7 o'clock, we've got our special prayer evening together. Or if you can't come out, then pray at home at 7 o'clock. Ask God's power to work in you. Is this what God is calling you to be involved with? Ask God to work in us together. So this is the vision that we have shared over these weeks. To be more missional as a church with mid-sized groups. To reach out to Old Sarum Estate and continue the pioneering work that we've started there. To build new buildings here to support our growth. It's all about grasping God's heart, his vision, the depth of his love. And that's Paul's prayer for the Ephesians too. Like them, we are to be a family, a community belonging to the Father. And together we are to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. It's all about his love. So these are our values that we've looked at over these 5 weeks. Who we want to be. People filled with that love. And this is our vision under God. What we want to do as his people. Is it a radical new vision? Well, no, not really. It's something we've always wanted to be and do here at St. Francis. I want to finish with Mr. Malevra's prayer. Mr. Malevra was the first vicar, the pioneer vicar for St. Francis in 1930. And Mr. Malevra wrote a prayer that was prayed in the wooden hut on day one of the life of St. Francis Church. I want to read that prayer. It's an amazing prayer. Father, we pray thee to so fill this house with thy pure spirit, that all who enter here may be touched thereby. Here may the strong renew their strength and seek for their working lives a noble consecration. Here may the poor find succor and the friendless friendship. Here may the tempted find power and the sorrowful find comfort. And the bereaved find the truth that death hath over their beloved no more dominion. Here let the fearing find a new courage, and the doubting have their faith and hope confirmed. Here let the careless be awakened, and all that are oppressed be freed. O thou who makest the morning and the midday and the evening of life, hither let children love to come, and old folk as thy children to praise thee. Hither each age in turn may be drawn by thy love, and go hence with their doubts resolved, their fears at rest, their courage high, their purpose firm, their sins dispelled, and their hearts aflame. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Isn't that an amazing prayer? Isn't that what we want God to be doing here amongst us? Doesn't that sum up our vision? Let's pray, shall we? Father, we thank you for all that you are doing here in the life of St. Francis. We thank you that we are indeed family. We thank you that we are grasping your amazing love. How wide and long and high and deep is your love. Lord, may we grasp even more of that. May we live it out. May we live with deep values and exciting vision as your people here. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.